Pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Those who bring the offering would come forward. Kids can be dismissed for Kids Corner.
I encourage you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to still talk about spiritual gifts this morning, and we're going to focus our attention on verses 1-5. But before we do that, let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful this morning for the sacrifice that we just sang about. You know that, Lord, none of us would be here today if it were not for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for our lives, a plan which includes the body of Christ, a plan which includes your using us in each other's lives. And Lord, I pray today that as we look into your word, that God, you would strengthen us individually as believers in Christ, but Lord, strengthen us as a body. We desire to be strengthened, Lord, and built up in our faith today. We would just ask and pray that you would do that, Lord, and that your name would be glorified. Because, Lord, our ultimate desire, Lord, is to bring glory to you in thanksgiving, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. And so, God, we pray that as we look into your word, you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've noticed that the American culture that we live in is very self-oriented and self-absorbed. We live in what I would term as an all-about-me culture. Our culture teaches us that we need to look out for ourselves, and we need to do what is best for us. In almost every area of life, we are subtly encouraged by our culture to consider ourselves more important than those around us. It doesn't come out directly that way, but indirectly and subtly, that's what our culture teaches us. Our time is our time. Our money is our money. What we deem as valuable in life is what we invest our lives in. Unfortunately, American culture has, I think, found its way into the church, and it has affected how the body of Christ worships God and ministers and serves one another. Instead of the body of Christ affecting our culture, I think our culture affects us more than we do our culture. And this is really the opposite of what Christ envisions for the church he is building. The church that Jesus builds is built on the foundation of himself. It's a church that is made up of many parts, each devoted to Christ and also to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In the church that Jesus builds, each part, each individual believer is important. And each has a spiritual gift given to them by the Holy Spirit, whose use is vitally necessary to the functioning of the church as a whole. The church that Jesus builds is a church where each member puts his or her brothers and sisters in Christ above themselves, where each member serves the others just as Christ served us. And this is really countercultural to the world in which we live today, where our culture teaches us that it's all about me. The church that Jesus builds is all about others. The church in Corinth, like the church today, struggled with the culture of its day, finding its way into the church services and ministries. They too struggled with a me-first mentality, because selfishness, along with pride, is at the root of all sin. The me-first mentality is really found at the core of our sinful nature. And so Paul, in our text for this morning, had to remind them of some fundamental principles that ought to govern God's people as they gather for worship and as they serve one another. There are three principles that we're going to consider. We're only going to consider one today, but we'll consider the rest in the weeks to come. The first principle is that of edification, and that's found in these first five verses. Let me read them to you. Paul says, "Let love be your highest goal." Let love be your highest goal. "You should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the whole church, the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened." In these verses, Paul prefaces what he is about to share by saying that love should be the determining factor in all we do within the church. That love should be there. He dedicated, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, chapter 13 to the importance of love in all of our relationships. And so in this passage, the principles that he writes of here cannot be fulfilled unless love is at the forefront. We must love one another. Love for Christ will be demonstrated in our love for one another. If we really love Jesus, then that love will be demonstrated as we love one another. Love for Christ will also silence the me-first mentality of our culture that creeps into the church. Verses 1 to 5, he uses the word strengthen or edify four different times. And this is one of Paul's favorite words. which he borrowed from architecture. It's an architectural term. To strengthen or to edify means to build up. It means to reinforce. In this case, to build up the body of Christ. The mistake the Corinthian believers were making at the time was that they were emphasizing their own personal edification or strengthening to the neglect of the rest of the church. You see, they wanted to build themselves up, but they did not want to build up their brothers and sisters in Christ. They did not want to invest their lives into the lives of their fellow believers. And so this attitude not only hurt the other believers, but ultimately it hurt those who were practicing it, who were living for themselves rather than for each other. After all, we are members of the same body. In the same way we relate to one another ultimately affects us personally. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, he said, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. If one member of the body is focused on themselves and not using their gift, it will affect the other members. I mean, the pastor can't say, you know, to the nursery worker, I don't need you. Can you imagine what would happen if we did? Nor can the person helping with the facility say to the treasurer, I don't need you. We need each other. In these verses, we see that Paul detected that the church was neglecting the gift of prophecy and giving a wrong emphasis to the gift of tongues. And it's important for us to understand the point that he is trying to make here in this passage. As Paul speaks of the gift of prophecy in the context of the Corinthian church, he is not picturing for us a New Testament prophet as one who is foretelling the future. Nor is he thinking along the lines of an Old Testament prophet. He's not thinking along the lines of Jeremiah or Isaiah or Habakkuk or Joel or any of those prophets. The prophecy he speaks of here is not the same either as what I'm doing here this morning. Some have tried to say, well, the prophecy that he's speaking of here is something like preaching. Well, what's happening here is something that I've prepared for. I've studied and prepared for this message. The prophecy that he speaks of in this text is one who has received God's message immediately through the Holy Spirit, and that message he communicates, or she communicates, to the church. And that message will always be consistent with God's word. The gift of prophecy spoken of in this passage is that of an immediate inspiration from God in which the prophet shares the message. A message that is related to something that is happening within the body. And its purpose is to edify, its purpose is to build up those to whom it is spoken. In verses 1 through 3, Paul explains a little more. He explains the supreme value of the gift of prophecy over the gift of tongues by contrasting the two gifts for us. In a nutshell, prophecy speaks to each believer, whereas one who speaks in tongues speaks only to God. Paul's counsel was, if you are zealous for spiritual gifts, at least desire the best gifts. At least desire the greater gifts. Desire the gifts, those gifts, which are most useful and beneficial for the whole church. Prophecy was best because it built up the whole church. As he said, it strengthens others. It encourages others. it comforts them. The believer who speaks in a tongue speaks to God in praise and worship. But the believer who prophesies shares God's word with the church and helps those who listen to grow in their faith and in their walk with God. Prophecy strengthens the church, whereas tongues strengthens only the speaker. Paul did not deny the value of the gift of tongues to the speaker, but he did place a higher value on strengthening the church, on building our brothers and sisters in Christ up in faith. He said in verse 5, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Unless tongues, the gift of tongues, is interpreted in a public setting, the message has no value to the church. Later in the chapter, we're going to see in verse 28 that Paul adds to this by pointing out that an interpreter must be present before the gift of tongues is exercised in a worship service. It's important, I think, to keep in mind that the members of the Corinthian church did not sit in services with their leather-bound Bibles in their hands, nor did they sit there using an app on their cell phone to read the scriptures. That's because the cell phones back in those days did not have apps at that time. Okay? The New Testament was not even written. It was being written. And the Old Testament scrolls were not available to most believers at that particular time. One, because of the prohibitive cost in putting one together. You remember, somebody had to sit down and copy on papyrus exactly what was on the original to the copy. They didn't have, you know, a Xerox machine. They didn't have a printer in their office. They didn't have any of those luxuries. God spoke to his people directly through the prophets, and the message was sometimes given in a tongue with an interpreter present so that the whole church might be strengthened. Instead of working independently, which was a struggle within the Corinthian church, the gifts were to work together in conjunction with one another to convey truth to the body of Christ as a whole. And as a result, the church would be strengthened. As a result, the church would be edified. As a result, believers would be built up in their faith. That, my friends, is the reason that God gave the gifts to the church, so that the church might be built up. Well, in this text, Paul emphasized, I believe, the importance of teaching the truth, of teaching a doctrine or a theology, because our worship must be based on truth, or it might become just a venue for the release of emotions. And that, in effect, was what was taking place in the church in Corinth. Believers with the gift of tongues were using their gifts in public worship for their own benefit. Yes, it was a blessing to them personally. While those, however, in the public worship who did not have the gift of tongues were confused, especially new people who would come into the service. Christians need to know, I believe, what we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And the one with the gift of prophecy was able to share the truth with the church, and by doing so, built up, strengthened, and edified the church body. The person speaking in tongues enjoys his or her worship with God, but they're not edifying the church. Unless, of course, there is an interpreter who is present. Any ministry that does not build up the body of Christ will ultimately tear it down, no matter how spiritual it may seem to be. And that's what was happening in the church in Corinth. Instead of the body being strengthened, instead of the body of Christ being built up, it was slowly being destroyed because some of the believers were more focused on themselves and their gift than on one another. The body of Christ is unlike any other group of people or organization that gathers on a regular basis. Would you agree with that? The body of Christ is unlike any other group of people or organization that gathers on a regular basis. Looking across this room here this morning, we have a bunch of different groups that our people are engaged in. Okay? We have, I've listed some here so I remember. We have home groups. We have our jobs. We have homeschool groups, we have sports teams, we have robot groups, we have our exercise groups, we have other Christian organizations that you and I are a part of. But the body of Christ is different than all those other groups. The body of Christ has Christ as its head and its builder, and it consists of those who by the grace of God have confessed their sins and by faith entrusted their lives to Jesus Christ as Savior. Its membership is worldwide, and yet its ministry is carried out in local assemblies like this one through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us together as one to make disciples. When we entrusted our lives to Christ, I'm going to say something here that maybe you, it might shake you up a little bit, but hopefully it helps you to think. When we entrusted our lives to Christ, we also entrusted our lives to His plan for our lives. Do you believe that? When we entrusted our lives to Jesus Christ, we also entrusted our lives to His plan for our lives. And His plan for your life as a believer and my life as a believer involves the church, the body of Christ, and our commitment to one another's spiritual growth and strengthening. He has entrusted each one of us with a spiritual gift to use for the building up of, in our case, Faith Alliance Church. He's given you and He's given me a gift so that we might build up one another and strengthen one another in our faith. That's why you've been given that gift. That's why I've been given the gifts that I've been given. And the question that I want to leave with us this morning for us to ruminate on is this: am I using the spiritual gift given to me by the Holy Spirit to build up, to strengthen, to comfort my brothers and sisters in Christ here at Faith Alliance Church? Am I bringing glory to God by allowing the Holy Spirit to work that gift through my life so that my brothers and sisters in Christ might be built up in their faith? Am I serving Christ as He served us? That's what we have before us here this morning. On this communion table is a reminder of how Christ served us. It is a picture of how He desires the body of Christ to serve one another. It's a picture of what He desires of us, sacrificial lives being given up for each other, so that we all might grow in faith, so we all might be strengthened and encouraged and comforted in our faith in Christ. That's not just one person's responsibility or a few persons' responsibilities within the church. That engages the whole body of believers, Each part is significant. Each part is vital. Like I said, the pastor can't say to the nursery worker, I don't need you. Even though that nursery worker, it might seem like a less significant position within the church, it is important. Every single ministry within the body of Christ is important. And every gift that the Holy Spirit has given you and has given me is important to the functioning of this church. In Corinth, they were using those gifts, unfortunately, for themselves. I'm not saying that's happening here. I'm just saying that we need to use the gifts that God has given us so that He might bless this body and use it even more powerfully in this community where He's placed us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we are here this morning, and as I see this table set before me, I'm reminded of the significance, Lord, of how You served us, of how You sacrificed everything, and You allowed Yourself to be placed on a cross, to be pierced for our transgressions. You carried on Your body the complete and total condemnation that we all deserve. You carried all of our sins to the cross. You served us. You put us before You put Yourself. And Lord, You have shown us a picture of what You desire for us as the body of Christ. You desire us to live sacrificially before each other. You desire us, Lord, to use our gifts, to use everything that You have given us so that we might build each other up, so that we might strengthen each other, so that, Lord, we can do the work that You have left for us to do of making disciples in this world. Lord, I pray that You would help us as Faith Alliance Church. Help us, Lord, to become that body of believers that You can use for Your glory in this place. Help us to be a people, Lord, who use our gifts so that we might strengthen and encourage and comfort all who are a part of Faith Alliance Church. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Derek and Randy if they would join me at this time. As I said just a few moments ago and prayed, this table represents Jesus' service to us. What He did for us on the cross was something that only He could do. And we think of the fact that God humbled Himself and became a man and took our place. I don't think there's a greater picture for us to grasp this morning than the picture that we have in these elements of His body and of His blood that was shed for us. I would ask you that as we pass out these elements that you would wait until everyone is served, and then we will take of them together.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar of the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Building up.